Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. All righty. Right here we see where the Lord and where God is speaking to the people there at Israel, the Israelites. And not only was he speaking to them, but he was speaking of all the individuals of that time. And in verse 6, and then I'm going to go to verse 12. Verse 6, it says, "And the children of Israel took their journeys from Beeroth of the children of Jacob to Moserah. Aaron died, and there he was buried in Elijah's. His son ministered in the priest's office in his stead." Verse 12. "And now, Israel, which doeth the Lord thy God require of thee." And now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee? Remember that first part of chapter 12. Verse 12 in chapter 11. To 10, excuse me. "But to fear the Lord and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Verse 14, "Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heaven is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy father to love them, and he chose thy seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day." What does the Lord God require of thee? What doeth the Lord require of thee? What does he want for you and for me? He wants the same thing for us as he wanted for the children of Israel in that time. That day and in that time, the children of Israel, in verse 12, it said, But we, speaking of the spiritual Israel, but we, and he's talking about the church right here, he's talking about the spiritual Israel. Now we know that the church come on the scene in Acts, and we know that God was in the beginning, God was before verse 1 of Genesis. And we know also that God himself ordained the marriage of individuals. So what I'm getting at there is, we have some people, we have some people will condemn somebody else for staying home with their sons and the daughters that are sick and cannot take care of themselves. Or stay home with mama or daddy that is up in age and can't take care of themselves. Some people say, well, God's not going to bless you for that. God will bless you more for doing that in that way than he will for you coming to his house and you leaving your family at home sick and can't do for themselves. Because see, the family come first. I mean, God's number one. He's always number one. But then it's a family. Because see, that's where the marriage took place, was it back in the book of Genesis. And the first son was there in Genesis also. And not only that, with the children of Israel during that day, they had no doubt that they were serving the Lord the way the Lord had meant for them to serve him. But the people of that day, the same type of people that we are among today, they are people that says they love God, but will not do what God's asked them to do. The spiritual Israel in that day was the church that God the Father is speaking of today. And who is the church today? It's not this building. It's me and you, the ones that make up the body of Christ. To make up the body of Christ. What am I of the part of that body? I may not be nothing but the little finger on my body, but it's still the body of Christ. If I get a hangnail there, yeah, it hurts. When I do something wrong against God, it hurts. It hurts his feelings. And he mourns for us every day. I think probably last part of last year, and the first part of this year so far, we have disappointed God the Father and God the Son there in heaven. How do I know that? Look at all the rain we've had. The teardrops. That's all. You take and you look at as it coming down. If it comes down real slow, that rain to come down. You can look at individual rain and you can see it's in the shape of a teardrop. The teardrops of God has been flowing and has been flowing to the extreme here in the last 7-8 months. I had a man to tell me, he said, well, you know, as much rain as we had, and if they don't hurry up and quit raining, you know, he's going to just drown us all. I said, I thought you'd do the Bible. He said, I do. I said,
The earth is never going to flood again. Not like it did, back in the old day. It's not going to flood again. Because see, water, the flood itself, will not cleanse the ground. Will not purify what is corrupt. Only fire will purify it. Only fire will get away, get all this stuff out of the way. And when it gets it all out of the way, then you can look around and you can see where the trees have been burned up. The grass has been disappeared because of the fire. But you just wait around a while. You wait around a month or two, and you see, you look out there where the field was burnt to the crisp. It wasn't nothing there but just darkness, blackness there where the fire had assumed that. But then you could go back maybe a month or 2 months later. Or maybe not even that long sometimes. You go back and you can look on that same field. And you've seen where new life has sprouted up. How do you know it's new life? Well, I see where the grass is growing. It's not coming up and it's all black. Because see, darkness and the blackness of our sins, the only thing it creates is more blackness. But when you look on that field, see life there. What is life? What is that life in that field? The life is the green blade, the green grass, the green weeds, the trees, the flourishes. That is life. Death is blackness. So what God said, I'm going to do away with all the evil. All the corruption that has went about here on the land that God had created from the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth. When he created it all, it was did not have no kind of blackness to it, no kind of sin to it. But what does God require of me? What does he require of thee? First of all, he requires our faithfulness to him. And to him only. He is number one. He has to be number one. If he's not number one in our life, he's not number two. He's not number three. And he's not 100. He's got to be number one. And if he's number one in your life, in my life, then everything's going to be just fine. Everything's going to be okay. Why? Because he's in control. I'm not in control of nothing. I'm not in control of my own life. I'm not in control of my footsteps. I'm not in control of my hands. I'm not even in control of my mind. I'm not even in control of my heart. But he is. He's in control of it all. But we have to remember that he needs to be blessed. And when he is blessed, when he is blessed, and has he been blessed? You think he's being blessed by that sinner right here? Just walking up a road, drinking, maybe snorting a little coke, or beating his wife, beating his kids. You think God's going to bless him? No. The only way God blesses anybody is, first of all, they have to bless him. And we ain't seen too many people in lately that is blessing the Lord, because his tears are coming down. His tears are just flourishing. They're coming down to the point that nobody looks to God for anything. They don't look to God for their strength. They don't look to God for their health. The only way that I could stand here this morning and not fall over is by the grace of God. The only reason is by his marvelous grace. And yes, we live under grace. But even though we live under grace, it still does not do away with the law. Because see, there's some portions of the law that we have to keep. We have to look to. And we have to grow thereby. We're having people today, they're rejecting so much of God that they're rejecting the Ten Commandments. They're rejecting the Holy Ghost of God that wants to introduce the individual to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sermon on the Mount is speaking of the law of love. He always has been love. Before the beginning, since the beginning, all the way down through the Old Testament, and all the way down through the New Testament, his law is love for us to look at and to study it and say, Lord, what would you have me to do today for you? If we go and we've asked him that, if we just be honest with ourselves, we just ask, said, Lord, what do you want me to do for you today? You think he'd come back with so many different things that he'd want us to do. But I think it's one thing that he really wants us to do. He said, I just want you to do something where it will bring me a blessing. Where I can receive a blessing. People today, they talk about blessings. They talk about how much God has blessed them. And how much God has been with them through the times and through the hours that they were so down and so low. But yet, they never say anything at all about that they want to ask the Lord to send them somewhere this week, to put on their heart to go out and to do something. We must have it on our own heart and on our own mind that we'll go out here and we will do something for the Lord where he will be blessed. But people don't think that he needs to be blessed. They say, well, he owns everything. He's got everything. He sure does. But just think. If nobody ever done anything for the Lord, he will not receive a blessing. What do you think God would be doing then? I really don't know. But I do know one thing. He will never give us a blessing. We've got to bless him. Why? Because he is worthy of it. He is worthy of that. And so much more. The Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, the law of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's speaking of the love chapter. The love chapter. And he is revealed as the creator and the possessor of heaven and earth. Therefore, as our creator, he comes and makes certain requirements of us. He has certain things that he would like for us to do. And you know what God's requirement is for your life. Do you know what God's requirement is for your life? Do I know? Certain things that God wants you and me to do for him. And that's nothing else but just praise his name. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for allowing your son. And for you sending your son to this world. To where he would take up the body of man. And he would walk on this earth for 33 1/3 years. Teaching people, talking to individuals about their conditions, and blessing the people. But yet, with all of that, and here I am, I don't want to do something to cause a blessing for him. Shouldn't be that way. I should not even think that way. I should always have a blessing that I'm willing to share with him. Because look at all the blessings he shared with us, with me. He shared with me a blessing of a wife that is saved, that's in church. And he blesses me with a daughter that is saved and in church. And he's blessed me because he saved my unworthy soul. He has blessed me so much. So much that I couldn't even start right now and tell you about all the blessings he's blessed me with. Amen. Because it would take probably from now until the time he comes back, to thank him for it and to bless him and to praise his name. That's all he is love. There's no hate about him. Talking to a preacher here a while back, it was a missionary, and the missionary told me, he said, you know something? He said, did you realize that in the King James Bible, that you got a whole lot of non-truth there? I said, no, whoop, wait a minute now. He said, yeah. He says, it's lies all through the Bible. If there's a lie in the Bible, that lie is meant for me and for you. That lie is not meant for God. And then after he kept on and everything, and he asked me about, you know, wanting to come down here, was in his work and everything. And he asked me, he said, what kind of Bible do you prefer? I said, what kind of Bible I prefer? Well, if I preferred anything, it probably wouldn't even be the Bible itself. Probably wouldn't even be NIV or anything else. Matter of fact, I would probably wouldn't even be pastoring a church or preaching. It's not what I prefer. It's what God prefers. And God prefers us to stick with his word. I know that I don't have the original manuscript. You don't either. I said, but how can you go into a church and preach to a congregation and you reading scripture from the NIV where a woman had part in pinning the words down in the NIV. And that woman was a lesbian. How can you honestly say that you can find enough verses there to lead someone to the Lord? I don't think you can. Because if you do, what are they going to come up and say later on? Say, yeah, you know what that preacher said? He had a pretty good Sunday. I liked him and everything. And he won't preach from no King James Bible either. I mean, he's preaching for him, and I'll be, because that's what I got. He says, you know, and I've been told about where this lesbian had a part in writing the words of the NIV. Do I honestly think that God would bless anybody that would take that book and read it? I know I'm supposed to love the sinner, and I do love them, but I don't love their sin. I don't love their ways. But I do love them. And I like to see them get saved. But the only way that they'll get saved is they're going to have to come and hear the preaching of the Word of God, where the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus would draw them to him. And when he draws them to him, then that's what God has asked. God is requiring for something from them. What is God requiring? Is he requiring them to continue on living that life? No, he don't. Because we can go back and look in the Old Testament. Sodom and Gomorrah. Had one commentator on the TV news broadcast. And he was talking to somebody else down on the news broadcast. And everything. And they was talking about this, about the United States, talking about the world and how corrupt it is and everything. And even the White House is corrupt with people up there. The Senate, our government system is corrupt all around. They said, how can we live in society with that type of corruption? First of all, we got to look to ourselves. I've seen things that I know that some of them needs to be told. And I've also noticed where I'd come back and I said, well, here I am. I'm just one individual. I can't do nothing. But you know something? One individual and with God on his side, we are the majority. We are the one that can turn things around. But we even doubt ourselves that the things can be turned around even with God's help. You know, God can turn everything around. God can turn everything upside down. And we could be going out here and we could be leaving, going home, and stood up in the car having the four tires down on the pavement. We could have the top on the pavement and have the wheels up because he's turned us upside down. Sometimes I think that's what needs to be done. The churches need to be turned upside down. When the church is turned upside down, what happens then? Everything that they have that is corrupt will fall from them. Why? Because, see, if somebody was to happen to raise me up and took my two legs and tied a rope around them, and then they took it and they run it up there where it was a horse or wheel or whatever, and then they horse me up, my legs going up first. My body has been turned upside down. You think anything would drop off? You think anything would come out of my pockets? Yes. If I got any change in my pockets, the change would come out. It'll land on the floor. My billfold will come out of my pocket. It'll land on the floor. Why? Because see, that stuff was corrupt. It was corrupt from the beginning. But yet we allow it to corrupt us. What doeth the Lord require of thee? This coming week. What does the Lord want you to do this week for him?
What does he want me to do this week for him? I believe what we must do, really, is we must pray and ask the Lord and ask God and ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Trinity there to lay something on our heart where we'll bring the Trinity of God a blessing. And see, if we do that, then I honestly believe, well, I know, no, I ain't gonna say I honestly believe, I know God's gonna bless us. How many of you that's here this morning would love to see more people here? I would. And let me tell you what. And God the Father, he would also. Even his Son would also. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost would also. See, it's so much that we as just a few people can do. And it's nothing hard. It's nothing that he will ask us to do that we cannot do. Because see, he knows everything. He knows exactly what I can do. He knows that I can do it today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. He knows exactly what I can do. He knows exactly what you can do. But then, see, that's what God requires of us. God requires of us to pray. Not just for the people that's here this morning, but we need to bring up our families. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for the lost individuals that are here. We need to pray for the people that's backslidden on God. They got out of church. You know where they backslid at? They didn't backslide at Walmart. Or at Sam's, or even at the races. They didn't backslide there. Where they backslid at was right in the pew. Because what was being said, they did not even hear the first word of it. They did not even listen to the Holy Spirit. They did not even listen to God at all with that small, still voice. And it don't matter how small it is. He can still allow us to understand what he's saying. I'm looking for this year to be the best year that we've had since I've been here. Maybe the best year of the church existence. I don't know. But I believe in my heart that this year some things are going to happen. I believe it. If it don't happen, it ain't going to happen. It ain't not going to do it on my part. But we got to come together as one body in Christ.
When two or three are gathered together and touching the throne room of God, then you can bet your bottom dollar it's going to happen. It may not happen this week. It may not happen this Sunday. It may not happen next week. But I can promise you that it's going to happen. Why am I going to promise? It's because we just gave him a blessing. That's what we want to see. We want to see this house. We want to see this church right here grow to the point. And I honestly believe this, that with the people that we got right here, right now, and with the faith that y'all have, it's not a thing that this church and this body of people that cannot do. You know what I see in the near future? I see where having to add on. I'm seeing where we're going to have to go to the individual that owns that land over there and to purchase that land at whatever cost. Well, preacher, why would we want a larger church? Why would we want to purchase some more land when we don't have but a few people, and we just don't have but just a little money? Well, I look at it this way. You're right, we've got a few people. We've got 8 individuals here this morning. Plus we got in all total number that's present this morning is 32. 32. I can see it. I can really see it happening. I can really see it happening. And the people in here say, you know something, preacher? Says, I remember that message that you preached. And says that we have to go to him. We have to go to him by faith. We have to ask him to do it for us because we can't do it. We can't do nothing without his help. I can see where we done already started a building program. I can already see where we're about ready to start breaking ground out here and adding on to this building. Not tearing this building down, but leave this building here, but adding on to it that way. Out toward and towards the parking lot. And I see it now. That's going to be. And where the front's going to be. And I see where, before this even started, the church would go and finish up what I know that Brother Poovey was trying to finish up then when he started. And I have no doubt in my mind that Brother Poovey, if he did not want a steeple and a cross on the top of this building here, we can do that for him because of his faithfulness to God. And we can do other things for him for his faithfulness to God. We don't need to do it for ourselves. We need to do it for the people that was before us. Because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't even have it to do. We wouldn't even have it to do. Because I'm going to tell you what. This preacher in the past took this Bible literally to the heart. They believed in it. They trusted it. And we need to carry it on. You know, we got some people praying for us that's gone on. My grandmother, she never did have the opportunity to ever hear me preach. But she wanted to so bad, but she was in the nursing home and she couldn't. But I know she's up there and she's looking over the banister of heaven down to her grandson, the preacher. She's hearing me today. Do you think that happens? Yes, I do. I do. I do. Don't come up and tell me any different, because you can't tell me any different. See, we don't have all of what God said. We don't have everything that was on God's heart. We don't have everything that was on God's mind. We just have enough to keep us eating His Word. And knowing at it. Because every time that we eat something, and if it tastes good, what do we want to do? We want to go back. And we want to get what we just had. Because it was so good. The Word of God is so good. You know, we could live probably, I don't know how long. I know the Bible speaks of 40 days and fasting. But you know, I honestly believe if we get it in our heart and in our mind, what this book right here says, to each one of us as individuals, we can just gnaw on it. We can eat it. We can just enjoy it. And we'll come right back for some more. Like, get home. Maybe my daughter might be fixing a pie. I don't know. If she does, she'll fix my favorite one, I hope. But you know, which is a chocolate pie. I love chocolate pies. But you tell you what, you think I can go home and eat a piece of that chocolate pie and don't eat no more of it today or tomorrow or next week? And then when I do finally go back, it looks so bad, it looks so... I mean, it don't look good to even eat. No. I'll eat that slice of pie for lunch, yeah. Oh, me praise God. And Lord, I wouldn't mind you just talking to her. But I do believe that if we will take this word and we will just feast upon it and eat a little bit of it. I ain't talking about really what you talk about, gnawing down on it and tearing the pages that need. And I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about allowing our soul to be saturated with His Word. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for today. Now, Father, we ask God that You will just help us to mind You and what You'd have us to do here at Faith Baptist Church. Father, I do not believe that You want this church to stay the same with no more people than what's here. Father, because I know, Lord Jesus, there are other people out here that's lost. And You want to see them saved. Father, not only You, but I also do too. But I know that You want them saved a whole lot worse than I do. Because Your Son died for them. So, Father, be with us this coming week. And, Father, for what You have each one of us to do this week, Lord, that You can give us the strength. You can give us something that You really want us to do. And Father, we will go out and do it for You. Because You're looking for a blessing. And Father, where do You want Your blessings to come from? You want Your blessings to come from Your children. Because my blessings that I receive comes from my Heavenly Father. So it's a family affair. Go with us, lead, guide, and direct us, and help us, Father, that we may speak in a way that people will understand that we love them and we just want the very best for them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. All righty. Well.